we've tested a few giveaways that had nothing to do with our products. So we're like, we should come up with like this badass man's bundle. We went out and spent like $500 on like axes and backpacks and camping gear. And it was going to be like this cool, rugged bug out bag type thing. And we got the cheapest leads we've ever got, and they didn't buy shit. When we give away stuff that's maybe less sexy, but it's our product, people that are going to apply have an actual interest in the products themselves. And I think that's a big distinction. If you have a brand and you've ran a giveaway, but it didn't work, finding something that is, you know, congruent or in support of the product that you're using, I think is critical. You want the best quality leads, not just the cheapest ones you can get.
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup. And all the plans for the year, and yeah, we're excited about big things. And this year was good too. Like this year, it was a struggle this year. Like it definitely was harder in 2023 and 20 than it was in 2022 for us.
Yeah.
But made a lot of good progress. So
nice, man. Do you guys use any specific framework like EOS or scaling up or?
We've been trying to use EOS like on and off for years, and we're kind of using it and kind of not using it. Like we're definitely getting some, we have a daily standup and we have our L10s.
Okay.
But the goal with this, now that we have this like year long kind of objective across all the different departments, is to implement it a little bit better. Do you guys?
Yeah. So we started using it last year. We like had our leader, we set a leadership team, had everybody read it, started the process. And then about halfway through the year, I hired an amazing executive assistant who was really, really experienced in EOS itself. So she just transformed our ability to implement it, like use the tools better, held us accountable. So we do L10s in every department now. Like the leadership person in that department assigns rocks to their team. So it's still, you know, we're a year in, so it's still new, but it's been very, very helpful for us for sure.
I think you said it there, like you need that implementer though. You kind of need the person whose like job it is to like get everyone on track with it, right? Because it's hard when you've got all your team doing all this stuff, and then on top of it, you're like, okay, take on this whole new structure. Like having that other person helping be accountable for it helps so much.
As founders, it's like you're trying to learn enough and implement enough at once to then try to like bring in this system and figure out the tools and do all the things. So we just got really lucky. Honestly, Regina has had learned it from a previous opportunity that she worked in. So it was awesome.
Very cool. Well, let's just start this podcast with some EOS banter. I think that's I think half of the podcast listeners probably are thinking about implementing that or not. It's definitely super helpful. But Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, bro. It's a pleasure to be here, man. I've been listening to the podcast ever since it came out. It's like 3 or 4 years now, right? It's been a while. Got some amazing tips along the way. So it's a pleasure to be here. I feel like you guys are definitely one of the best in the space, and it's an honor to get on here and chop it up and hopefully connect with some listeners and share a few things along the way.
You are also another one of the gift that keeps on giving from Carly Craig. Carly Craig just continually introduces me to new people in the industry. Like, you got to have Anthony on the podcast. I think you got, maybe you met at the Blue Ribbon Mastermind or business mastermind this year.
Yeah, we met down in Puerto Rico at Blue Ribbon and then just, yeah, obviously connected. She's amazing. She's also introduced me to a few other people in the space. So I feel like she's one of those just like super connectors in the space, but an incredible human for sure.
Nice. Okay. Take me to the beginning of, you know, I've been following, you know, multiple beer brands in this D2C space since I kind of came into it in 2016. Some have hit it big. Some have fallen by the wayside. Live Bearded is just continuing to grow steadily. Talk about your journey a little bit. How did it get started?
Yeah. I mean, my personal journey started all the way back in 2009. I worked a bunch of bullshit jobs I hated and ultimately got to a place where I decided I wanted to be able to make money online so I could travel. And I think I was a little bit ahead of my time, you know, trying to figure out how to make money online in 2009, 2010. Ultimately, I taught myself Facebook ads, which obviously, you know, you guys are the experts at. Learned how to buy traffic back in 2011. Spent 5 years in the affiliate space, driving leads, building lists, selling other people's shit. And, you know, sold a couple businesses, built a couple that failed. Ultimately, that led me to kind of No Shave November 2015. And one of my best friends, Spencer, we've known each other for 18 years at this point. He was growing out his first beard. And we'd always talked about working together, maybe figuring out a way to start a business that was kind of built around men and community and things like that. He was like, have you ever thought about starting a beard company? And I was like, I didn't even have a beard. It was like stubble. And I was like, no, I haven't thought about it. But the conversation continued. And I went on to Alibaba. I bought 500 wood combs. I had a Fiverr designer make a Live Bearded logo. We stamped it on there. And I was like, let's see if we can sell some fucking beard combs. Long story short, I set up a free plus shipping offer to see if we could sell 500 combs, set up a Facebook funnel, and we sold all of them in the first day. And then we had to figure out how to freaking send out 500 combs because we weren't expecting that. So we went to like Office Max, figured out, bought the shipping stuff. The rest is history. We went from, you know, the idea of a free plus shipping offer to we ended up doing about 10,000 customers in the first year. And the purpose of those first customers was let's just build as many, like let's invite as many people into a Facebook group as possible. And let's connect with them and get to know what they like, what they don't want, what they need, what products they're using. And so rather than just diving into manufacturing out of the gate and going all in, we really kind of did a minimum viable product approach. We did the beard combs. We had a couple other products that we like got made in China just to try to get new customers into the funnel that were grooming related. And then ultimately we started surveying our audience and they told us exactly what products they used, what they liked, what they didn't like. And then that ultimately led to us developing our own line of custom beard products. We launched the website kind of end of 2016. And, you know, we've really had growth 40 to 45% growth kind of year over year since then. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of businesses have kind of come and gone. Businesses like the Beard Club skyrocketed out of nowhere to $1 million a month almost overnight. You know, Beard Brand has been a pillar in the space since 2012. So there's these companies that have been around. But, you know, for us, we really just focused on how do we build a brand? How do we connect with our community? And how do we build a business that is going to be sustainable long-term? In my affiliate days, I built this entire seven-figure business on the back of Facebook pages and Facebook ads. And in a day, they changed their algorithm, reach went down. Then in another day, they changed their algorithm, reach went down. And I went from making seven figures a month as an affiliate, living the fucking dream, to basically making no money and needing to start all the way over. And so I realized very quickly the worst number in business is one. And we decided with Live Bearded, we're going to have a very diversified, long-term approach to the business. And it was really focused on how do we foster community and culture. And today I'm proud to say, I think one of the best aspects of our brand is nearly 50% of all of our revenue is repeat customer. So we've really nailed the retention. We've nailed the community. And ultimately that's just been built on this idea of how do we actually give a damn about our customer and go out of our way to make sure they have the best customer experience possible.
it's the best of both worlds. You know, I'm an affiliate. I started in 2009 slinging e-cards and dating subscriptions and
Dude, all sorts of things
on Google. And I remember in 2009, I'm like, why? Imagine all agencies spent like we spent, and as opposed to spraying and praying or whatever. And, you know, we're changing button colors and we're making sure the funnel is congruent at every step. And I came up all through affiliate marketing. And then I really was there in 2016, 2017, when all these affiliates were having the same experience you were, where they were having their legs taken out from under them from different policy changes and this and that, with nothing left to stand on, because they weren't really bringing anything to the equation except the marketing know-how. And so when you can combine the fact, like the way you got into the product, you know, was so smart by de-risking yourself with, you know, your products, finding your product market fit or anything. So I knew it was going to be dangerous when affiliates started getting serious about building lasting businesses, because they also have that scrappy skill set to be able to get up a funnel and make sure it works. And then when it does work, they are able to, they're confident to put the volume down and grow it too, right?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I mean, I think the most important skill in business is knowing how to make a sale, right? There's like all these different skills that you need. But one of my first mentors, his name's Joe Polish. He's a legend in the space. I randomly met him at the gym. We became friends. I did some like work for him for free just to learn and be in the environment. And one of the first lessons he told me is, he's like, Anthony, your number one job as an entrepreneur is you have to learn how to make a sale so that you can pay for all the mistakes that you're going to make until you learn how to actually be a successful business owner. And I think, to your point, if the affiliates are, or if someone goes out and cuts their teeth in paid media or social media or content or whatever that skill set is that can generate visibility today, you know, we've seen a lot of businesses in our industry come and go, as you mentioned, and a lot of it is because they just didn't have the skills to maintain visibility. Maybe they had an opportunity with an algorithm or a specific media channel, but as those evolve and change, if you're not balanced, you really do struggle. Again, that's been something that we've been very intentional with. And for anybody out there who's in the game, who's on the journey, the number one advice I could give you from an amplification or awareness standpoint is you have to build multiple channels of visibility or traffic, so that when changes happen, when freaking updates, iOS updates take place, like I feel like every year there's another big challenge. I know this year there's a bunch of stuff going on with email. And it's happening to all of us, but it happens to you. It affects you less if you do the effort required to build a multidimensional traffic funnel and awareness system.
And on top of that, you also did the thing that affiliates don't always do naturally, which is really connect with your customers, really understand their problems and be really reflexive. You know, a lot of affiliate marketing is just about the offer, and you hammer the offer as hard as you can and then you find another offer kind of thing. But you've kind of built the legs on the stool along with your distribution system to have this strong community, this responsive community. Your beard's good. Your co-founder's beard is out of this world. I think that's the other essential thing is you've got a good beard, but he's got like a 10 out of 10, right?
Well, there's a reason why I made him the face of the brand. He's got the beard. He's better looking. You know, he looks like a Hulk in some ways. You know, the dude loves the gym more than anybody I've ever met in my life. He's like the mayor out there, just talking to everybody, shaking hands. He eats squats for breakfast. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he's genuinely one of the best guys I know. Amazing human. And I've been privileged to work with him for the last, you know, 8 years on this project, but be friends for 18. And, you know, the one thing that I learned through just luck, honestly, is Spence and I have very different skill sets. He's an implementer, right? We were using EOS framework language earlier. He is the integrator, like it perfectly. And I'm the visionary perfectly. And what's great about that is I'm the idea guy. I'm the visionary. I'm thinking about strategy. I can do the optimization of funnels, test new things, but long-term, he's the guy that goes to the team and executes it. And so the balance between us is another one of those like luck in some ways, but also like realizing that that was the case over time. We really leaned into that and elevated each other in our own like best skill sets.
Let's go back to tactics for a second. You mentioned that you launched the biz with free plus shipping. And I remember that was, especially back then, that was the mode to get your product out there, to get that first sale to build on. Yeah. What's working today? What's working today in your direct marketing efforts that gets you into the hands of the customer most effectively?
It's a great question. And honestly, I don't feel like we have any one channel that is just crushing it. I think it's just consistent over time. You know, we've really focused on the fundamentals. So, you know, email generates half of our revenue, you know, anywhere from like 40 to 50%. We do a lot of seasonal launches and new products and fragrances. So I think from a retention standpoint, you know, in e-commerce, once you acquire them, which typically that's the most difficult thing to do, you've got to have a way to send them. And so we've built a seasonal launch model where we have a limited number of products every quarter that go out. They're unique in fragrance, and there's true scarcity, there's true exclusivity, and they sell out almost immediately. And so from a marketing standpoint, like, I never realized the power of true scarcity and true exclusivity until we actually had it. And when it is true and you're not, you know, doing the funny tricks that a lot of brands do, it's incredible the impact that it has on the business. So that's a huge thing for us. But in terms of just generating business, we have two main funnels. The first one is a sample funnel for us. And we built it in a way for any listener out there that wants to go take a look at it, dissect it. You can go to livebearded.com/sample. And that's a page I've painstakingly optimized over a year and a half. We took the conversion rate from 4 to 5% up to 13% on cold traffic. And that's by really dialing in the offer, figuring out what bonuses we can give away to stack value. But then also really working on the creative. All of our ads run on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We haven't really figured out how to crack the TikTok. We've like played with it a little bit, but that hasn't worked so well. And then yesterday, actually, I was just meeting with my marketing team and we were dissecting. We have a giveaway funnel. We've been running this damn giveaway forever. And I was always like, I don't know about the true value that it adds. We know it adds some value. We generate new leads every month, but I could never quantify it. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a data analyst. I'm pretty weak when it comes to extrapolating like deep customer journey value. But we brought a fractional CMO in to really help with that. And he was dissecting it for us. And he was like, I think these giveaway guys are maybe some of the best new customers you get. And it's really amazing because the setup, if you guys want to look at that funnel, again, I'm here to just help any way I can. Go to livebearded.com/giveaway. You do have to opt in, but I would recommend it. Don't buy the shit unless you got a beard. But you can see our follow-up sequence. You can see the thank you page. But basically what we're doing is we're taking them from a giveaway where we're giving away hundreds of dollars of product every month and making them an immediate offer and then making them multiple offers over the course of a week. And then we drop them into our nurture sequence. Those are our two main offers. And that really brings in all of our new leads and all of our new customers. One of our biggest quarterly and annual rocks this year is actually to build a couple of new acquisition offers because we want to be able to scale more horizontally. But, you know, I've got a full creative team. I've got four guys in the content department. We've got three full-time videographers, a creative director, a script writer. And so we're spending a lot of time trying to create scripted videos. We actually went through the Harman Brothers training, my content team did a few years ago. And then we brought someone over from Chamber Media, if you know who those guys are.
Yep.
And
we tried familiar. I want to go stay at his hotels in Utah.
Yeah. Oh, someone just sent me that in Instagram. It looks super crazy. But to answer your question in a long-winded form, I mean, really, we don't have anything that's fancy. We're just focusing on the fundamentals, like I talked about. We've got a great creative team in-house, so we generate a lot of creative. We do a lot of YouTube stuff. We launched a podcast to just nurture the community. We email 3 or 4 times a week, mostly content, do the quarterly promotions, launch new products as often as we can. So we're really focused on how can we add value to the community, and then how can we, I think that like something new, whether it's a new label, a new version, a new fragrance, whatever it is, we've found that there's just a superpower in giving something new to your community. And there's a large percentage of them that are just going to come back and rebuy. So we just really tap into that and then do everything we can to make sure that the customer's having a good experience along the way.
You say fundamentals, but this is the fundamentals from someone who's also done 10 years of affiliate marketing, I think, in a way. Like, I'm just going back to the fact that you said that your giveaway list, looking through data, has actually turned out to be, you know, one of your more valuable customer lists, because that's not generally the case. A lot of the times you get people coming in for giveaways and they're just there for the freebies. And that's maybe even what you were assuming, but that you're not seeing that.
Yeah, so I can speak to it pretty specifically. So we've tested a few giveaways that had nothing to do with our products. So we're like, we should come up with like this badass man's bundle. And it was like, we went out and spent like $500 on like axes and backpacks and camping gear. And it was going to be like this cool, like rugged bug out bag type thing where you've got all this cool stuff. And we got the cheapest leads we've ever got. And they didn't buy shit. It was terrible. But when we give away stuff that's maybe less sexy, but it's our product. So every day we're giving away a beard oil. Every week we're giving away a grooming kit. And then every month we have this like grand prize. It's like $350 worth of value. I think it's like 6 months worth of product, our electric trimmer, etc. So it's so specific to our products that people that are going to apply have a actual interest in the products themselves. And I think that's a big distinction. If you have a brand and you've ran a giveaway, but it didn't work, the more congruent you can give to your actual product, the better. And I would recommend, if it's possible, to just give a, you know, for us, obviously it's a consumable, it's a cosmetic. So we can just give it away through a giveaway and then they'll come back and buy it if they like. But finding something that is, you know, congruent or an in support of the product that you're using, I think is critical. And then just thinking about the psychology of that type of a lead. So we capture their lead and we send them to a page and we're like, hey, buy now for 25% off. No one bought anything. And I'm like, okay, well, they came from free and I'm trying to give them a discount. What if they come from free and I give them free? So then we started testing free shit. So it was like, buy this grooming kit and get a free comb or a free dob kit or a free accessory. And then ultimately, the more value we can stack as the free gift, the higher that conversion rate is going to go. And so what we found was we get pretty cheap leads on the giveaway and a pretty great conversion rate on the thank you page, but the psychology is the same. They're entering for free shit. And then it's like, hey, well, we'll give you more free shit, but you're going to have to spend something this time. And you can see the current offer that we're working on that giveaway flow, like I told you, but I think it comes down to the psychology and making sure that you're not just trying to give away something sexy and get cheap leads. I think that's where you see so many of these co-opted giveaway lists that used to be all over the place in e-commerce. Candidly, we never did any of those because of the psychology behind it. You want the best quality leads, not just the cheapest ones you can get.
100%. It makes me think, actually, we were just looking at in our editorial this meeting about the Snoop Dogg campaign, the Snoop Dogg stove campaign. So they launched nationally with that huge, I think it was Wilk Stove or some big stove company with that Snoop is going smokeless.
Yes.
And it got national coverage and it got like, it had so many eyeballs, but it did not move the needle for them at all.
Yeah,
and they had to fire the CEO because he's an irrelevant, he's an incongruent person to their core audience. They just announced two of their new influencers are these, you know, certainly not Snoop Dogg's level of fame, but they're much more relevant. They're outdoorsmen. They're people who cook outdoors kind of thing. And that's their new strategy. It's a lot more on brand, on focus, congruent with what they're actually trying to do. Maybe everyone learned about their brand name. And maybe, who knows, down the road, more and more people will be like, oh, that was the Snoop Dogg joke brand, but it's not really relevant.
Yeah. I didn't realize the second part of that story. I knew Snoop did the thing for the solo stove and I saw the massive amount, every fucking podcast I listened to, business, political, personal, whatever, they were all talking about it. But it's so true, right? It doesn't matter how much visibility you get. If you're trying to sell someone something, you've got to have some intent. And so just awareness by itself isn't necessarily always going to be worth it, in my opinion.
And you've got to be authentic as you know, and if you're starting your campaign with a lie, you know, you're starting it with a trick. Oh, we're tricking you. He's going to smoke pot. He's not going to smoke pot anymore. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But like, that's also not a way to build trust and authenticity. And I guess that's where I go with my next question is like, what have been like the key steps for you guys? I guess it's just been a little bit of everything. It's been the brand image. It's been the product role. It's like, how have you built that connection so well?
Honestly, it's consistent effort over time. You know, and it's probably the one thing I'm most proud of. I actually spoke at a mastermind on Friday and one of the guys in a Q&A session was like, hey, I went to your website. You have 60,000 five-star reviews. How are you doing that? Like, are you paying people? Are you incentivizing them? Like, what's the deal here? And I was like, the deal is we've been doing this for 8 years and we've worked our ass off to like deliver on the promise to make sure that we are always congruent with what we say. If there's scarcity, there's true scarcity. We're not playing tricks. We're not doing marketing tactics for a short-term benefit. I think we've been playing the long game. even though in the beginning I wasn't planning on keeping Liv bearded for the long term, I always knew that I needed to maintain the trust and the authenticity with the brand. And so I would just say, one, we have kind of, Spencer and I have really infused our personality into the company, both from a value standpoint, but how we speak. And we've been ruthless with never misleading our customers, like we were just talking about. If there's scarcity, it's true scarcity. If something's out of stock, like, we don't play any funny games. And then ultimately, we try to have the most customer-focused, centric return policy. And in the details, like, a lot of times, I'll give you an example. So with customer service, we get a customer that buys a product, they don't like the fragrance. They call in and they're like, hey, you know, I don't like the fragrance, can I swap it out? Yeah, no problem, we got you. What fragrance do you want? We immediately send them the new fragrance. The next question is, well, do I have to send this one back? And we've trained our team to say something to the effect of, you know what, brother, we don't want you to have to deal with going to the post office, packaging it up and sending it back. We can't do anything with it anyway, since you've already used it. So just do us a favor. Give it to a friend, pass it on as a gift, and tell them about us. And that right there has generated so much excitement and authority for us. They're in the book Contagious, Jonah Berger says, the best thing that you can do is print social currency and give your community a way to create social currency for themselves. And if we give you a product that you pay for and you have the opportunity to get a different one and then give the one you didn't like to somebody, we're giving you social currency in your community. My warehouse manager, his brother did that to him, gave it to him. He fell in love with the brand, came on as a customer service rep, became a customer service manager, and now he leads our entire warehouse and fulfillment team. And so it's just doing these little things where we're truly focusing on how do we build relationships every step of the way? How do we do the hard thing instead of the easy thing? Most people in our world today are looking for the easy button and they want as quick, they want to make as much money off their list as possible. They want to get as much cash up front as they can. And I think if you can flip the script and play the long game and focus more on reputation, then you have the opportunity to build a following of people that just truly love you. And that is the best asset of the brand. I mean, I know every year we're going to generate 8+ figures in revenue. Half of that's going to be from email. Half of that's going to be from repeat customers. And we just have built this ecosystem that will sustain regardless of what takes place in the marketplace and how things go. And it comes down to really, like, A, we give a shit about our customers. Boring, lame. We've focused on the long term and we've just been consistent over time. I've heard it said that a personal brand or a business brand is really just the digitization of reputation. And once you create that reputation, it takes years to create it, but you can torch it in a second. You can burn it all down very, very quickly. So we're just trying to always be cautious of how we represent the brand and make sure that we're always acting within the values of ourselves and the community.
You were talking before the holidays when we had our pre-interview also about things that don't scale as well, where you're talking about literally sending handwritten notes to your best customers over Christmas. Like, that's a perfect example of something you're not going to see a financial return from, but it's that, like, every day you write the book, every day you kind of build those relationships.
Yeah, it's crazy. I went into Shopify and they added new features where you can do really easily sort by like number of orders or value, total customer value. And we have dozens of customers that have ordered over 100 times. I could not fucking believe it, man. I was like, these guys have ordered 100 times from Liv Bearded. It just blew me away. And so Spencer and I sat down and we wrote each one of them a Christmas card, just said thank you. You know, it took us several hours each. We divided it up, but these are the things that most people are not willing to do. And it is the very small hinges that swing the biggest doors. That's why I say I've never viewed myself as like this tactical genius in marketing or some, you know, is always up on the latest trend or this or that. I've just tried to focus on what are the fundamentals of building a business that's going to be sustainable and how, you know, in our space, the one thing I think now that I've been doing this for 13 years, the one thing that pisses me off is the idea of like how you need to scale to the moon as quickly as possible. And oftentimes the stories that are told are they went from 0 to 100 mil in 18 months and you got to do what they do and you got to try to model what their things are. When those are the unicorns, right? The 0.1%. And the truth is most of the businesses are just growing slowly or having the up and down, but trying to get there long term. And so I think just focusing on the long term, the fundamentals. And if you can be the type of person that's willing to do the things that don't scale, that actually becomes a moat because your competition won't do it. They're looking for the easy button and you do the hard work and you win long term. And that's what we're doing and what we will continue to do.
One of the things I've been talking about on the podcast a lot, I did a podcast with someone who has a media mix modeling company. We were talking about people's funnels, people's top of funnels specifically. And I was thinking about Facebook. And to me, Facebook as a direct response performance marketer, Facebook is top of funnel because you're getting new customers. But he sort of was explaining to me, well, actually, like Facebook collapses the funnel. It's the top, middle, and bottom of funnel, usually all in once in a lot of cases. And that more and more brands I'm talking to are thinking of more true top of funnel activities, whether that be TV, whether that be organic content, I think is a lot of it. How do you think of your true top of funnel for Live Bearded?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we're really trying to redefine that this year to be truly, like to just be truly honest about it. I do agree with that idea that Facebook collapses the funnel and we do, you know, our ads on Facebook are broad, wide open. And then based on the frequency, we can tell kind of how Facebook is optimizing the individual ad campaigns or ad sets based on whether they're getting more top, middle, or bottom. But to answer your question, we're actually really thinking this year of a top of funnel organic content strategy. We've never thought of it that way before, but we've really restructured our media team to think about how do we create content that is top of funnel, that's more shareable and more humor or awareness driven. Most of our content historically has been more middle or bottom of funnel to be grooming content and engaging in more of a conversation. So we're creating this new series. I'm actually really pumped about it. I don't know if I should give it away yet, but I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek. Since I just went to Australia, like we talked about, once upon a time, we had this idea of creating a beard hunter campaign. We dress up as an Aussie, kind of go out like the Down Under. I think it's called Crocodile Hunter, where they go out. There's like a movie about it. Anyways, we filmed a couple of pilots of the couple guys on the team dressing up in safari gear and going out with like their crazy Australian accents and hunting beards. And we're going on beard conservation missions and we're giving out sample packs and like trying to create content that's more shock and awe, more still congruent with us, still branded, but kind of more funny and witty so we can get people to hit that share button or send it in the DM to a friend and get that engagement. And I think for us, that's where we're focusing a lot of our creative resources on how do we get more top of funnel awareness organically across the platforms. And then obviously we'll amplify and boost those through different types of campaigns, but that's actually a major change that we've never had before. Everything has always been top, middle, bottom, all paid. A lot of the content has just been to nurture the community and create that relationship. So in a lot of ways, we're going into uncharted territory for ourselves, but I got a great team and I'm excited to see what they put together.
I think that person on the street approach is I was just talking with the guys, my friend at Rotten.com, and he's starting a series where they're having people go out and sort of like a Fear Factor type situation where they're having people eat random things. And I just feel like that opportunity, you mentioned, you know, the reasons you're doing it. Like one of the big reasons is it's also, that's how people consume content. They may not consume longer form. Some people will watch beard grooming for hours. I'm sure I've watched a few. But if you can get into that unexpected sort of funny content, you can just tap so much of that organic algorithm, which is what everyone's kind of looking for in terms of discovery, right?
Yeah. It's almost like I'm thinking about content, like a lot of very similar to how we think of, you know, you would first generate a lead, then you would indoctrinate them, a short message in the beginning, longer message, and then ultimately the conversion. I think for us, it's like, how do we create these short, funny, viral type videos at the top of funnel, but are driving them to consume more content in a mid form and then longer form content, because now we have a podcast and we have some other series that we're bringing out. And so it's almost like we're building a content funnel. Short is where they start, trying to get them to consume the medium kind of mids and then ultimately long form. And that's building the relationship. And then we let them determine where along the way they want to buy the sample pack, enter the giveaway, come into our ecosystem as a potential prospect, and then we convert them from there.
Sounds intelligent. I like the sound of this. What if we gave you $100,000, where would you use it right now?
That's a great question. I'd invest into my team. The one thing I've learned, man, is the talent that you put around you, like it's the biggest investment you'll ever have as an entrepreneur. And it's interesting. I never got into business as an entrepreneur because I wanted to build a team or have a company or sit in an office in a warehouse. It was the exact opposite, actually. I wanted to be an affiliate working on my laptop on any beach, and I didn't want to talk to anybody I didn't want to talk to. Fast forward to today, the power that you get from one great hire, it's unbelievable the value that they add to the brand. And so without a shadow of a doubt, I would try to go find someone who's like a true killer in their role to fulfill a gap that you have in the business and invest into their expertise and their intelligence so they can help you bridge the gap and get the company to the next level.
I love it. And the same thing, unfortunately, is true of people who aren't always at, if you've got the wrong kind of person in the wrong role, the effect can be negative, can be quite negative.
For sure. I think, it's often said that customers are the most important thing. And I think it's absolutely wrong. I think your internal employees and your team is the most important thing. And that culture that you create and that you foster, because from there, like we're the ones that are pouring out external from the internal nucleus of the company. And, you know, we've had a couple of people along the way that we made the wrong decision. I think, man, hiring the right people is probably the most challenging skill to learn as you're a growing business, because you need help. Things are growing. You're already running in multiple different directions. And then you're trying to find someone that's a good fit with skills and competency. Early on, we just hired anybody that was like a good fit for the brand. They were a good culture fit. And we're like, we'll train skills. But there's an inflection point in the business. And for us, it was right around that 8 to 10 million where we were like, we can no longer afford to train someone. We need to bring in true experts and true professionals that already have the experience so we can condense time and move faster.
Sounds awesome. What are your plans for 2024? Like, do you have anything big on the calendar that you're planning? I guess your content, your product launches are all planned out for the year?
Yeah, all of the products, all the stuff we have now, we've gotten very good at being less reactive. So all that stuff's mapped out. I would say probably our biggest thing is we've been working on a rebrand for a year and a half. So top to bottom, new logos, new websites, new packaging, new everything. We hired this fancy development or design agency December of 22. And here we are January of 24. And it's just been a long process. Our target date is Black Friday to kind of like all new things. So that's very, very exciting. It's just kind of refreshing the brand, making it, you know, Live Bearded 2.0, if you will. So that's super exciting. Trying to hire a really amazing email marketer. I've done most of it for the whole time. And then I handed it off to one of my marketing guys. But we really, it's such a valuable channel. It's the highest ROI channel we have. I'm trying to find someone who's a killer at email that is just, got a lot of experience. So we're hiring for that right now. But I would say the number one priority is doubling down on organic content, really learning how to craft shorts and script videos in that medium that will get a lot of visibility and awareness, building a couple of new funnels, and then just doing the boring stuff. I feel like whenever I do one of these, I feel like, man, I'm just talking about boring shit. I don't have any like whiz bang idea. So I don't know how much value it's going to be, but, I think just keeping your focus and executing on the fundamentals ultimately gets you where you want to go.
It's the energy. You have a great energy. And I think it's funny. I've talked to a bunch of people who've come on the podcast who were listening to the podcast when we started. And I've had more than one people tell me that it's just so much of it is just about seeing if people are aspirational listening to this right now, so much of it is just seeing people doing it themselves. And I think your approach is refreshing in that regard. It doesn't have to be these moments of genius. It has to be thorough, well thought out, daily activity, basically. You don't have to get it perfect. You just have to keep going at it. What Seth Rogen says, like, if you keep trying, you might make it. If you quit, you definitely won't. Yeah. And that's basically where we're at.
You know, the one thing that I've learned is there's always going to be fear. There's always going to be doubt. You're always going to wonder if you're going to be able to repeat the campaign. You know, we had an extraordinary Black Friday and I was like, holy shit. Like, we're never going to be able to like duplicate this type of day. You know, but then you do the work, you've practiced the fundamentals, you build the list, you nurture the community, and then you do it again and again and again. And I think the one thing that I've learned is, execution over time will beat everything else. It'll be every strategy, every tactic, every competitor. But the hardest part, honestly, and this is the part that we all have to battle with as entrepreneurs, is just staying consistent and showing up every day and not getting bored. You know, I did do you know Perry Belcher? I love that guy. Dude,
he's great.
So we paid him his consulting fee for a day to help us with acquisition a couple of years ago. And we were digging through like all the things that we had done and what was working. And I remember we were doing, we had our Facebook group and we were doing all this nurturing and we had this like really vibrant community. Long story short, some things changed. And he just said to me, I'll never forget. He goes, Yeah, it sounds like it worked so well, you stopped doing it. Do you just hate making money? And I was just like, what do you say to that? It's like, it sounds like it works so well, you stopped doing it. You must hate making money. And it was such like a kick in the dick in the best possible way, because it just reinforced the fundamentals, bro. Like, we got away from the fundamentals because we were trying to chase some new strategy or do something different. And, you know, it probably cost us a lot of time and opportunity. And so just trying to pull our focus back, you know, it's like staying focused, staying disciplined, and actually giving a shit about your customers. And I think that's the superpower in business. After doing this for a while, I think very few people can stay consistent over time. And if you can do that, you're going to win the race.
The other thing you mentioned a couple times, I think is critical. A lot of the best entrepreneurs that I've seen, they're willing to get out of their comfort zone a little bit and go to these type of events where you're connecting with the Perry Belchers, where you're connecting with the Ezra Firestones, where you're connecting with these other people that are going through what you're going through, and can say something that to anyone else might sound like not that important, but it hits you in this exact right way because they've been there. Can you talk a little bit about how you view those kind of excursions you take?
Yeah, I can tell you very candidly, the only reason why we're having a conversation is because I've invested at every chance I get into connections, networks, and my education. You know, when I started as an affiliate, I was a scared broke kid who didn't have any money, no knowledge, and no contacts, because it was 2009 and no one was doing this shit. And since then, I've calculated it up. I've invested over $500,000 into books, training courses, seminars, mastermind groups, personal coaching, mentorship. The only way to shortcut the road ahead is to go to someone who has already done it and pay them to teach you what to do. And so I think the most important thing any entrepreneur could do is get around other entrepreneurs who are where they want to be or who have already done and solved the problem that they're trying to solve. You know, said another way, we never have a how problem. It's always a who problem. Who do we need to talk to, or who do we need to become in order to bridge the gap from where we are to where we want to go? I know, like, my model, it's funny, my assistant Regina, she kind of teases me at times because she's like, you think everybody can just go to a conference and like learn skills and implement? And I'm like, well, that's my model of the world. Like, that's all I've ever done. I just went to conferences, I learned shit, and I implemented. And over the course of 13 years, we've now done $50 million in sales. We've generated a lot of business. We've got a vibrant community. And it literally started from connecting at conferences, reading books, going to seminars. And we're so blessed to live in a world where there's so much free shit out there, and we have access to almost anything online at this point in time. And sometimes you just got to pony up and pay to join someone's group or pay for a day consulting. If you're learning through it, the value is exponential.
And now you're that guy. Now you're that you wanted to be that guy, and you became that guy. I think there's a lot of people. I hope you get some reach outs from this. I think some people will want. Where should people find you if they want to reach out, on LinkedIn or Twitter?
Yeah, I think honestly, I'm on Instagram most of the time. I have my website's anthonymink.com. If you want to join the newsletter there, I have a podcast coming out in a couple weeks. Actually, it's called Entitled to Nothing. And there's going to be a part of it that's all about mindset and, you know, like the lessons that we've learned on the journey. And then there's going to be a part of it that's kind of about like business mindset and executive leadership and things like that, where we do interviews with other business owners. But Anthony Mink on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and then anthonymink.com. And yeah, I'd love if anybody has a specific question. You know, I run my business every day because I love doing it. I love the game. I think that entrepreneurship is the game of life. You know, everything that we experience today is sold from someone to someone for something. And that's what makes the world go round. And the way that you win the game of business is by finding ways to add more value to your customers than any of your competitors can. And if we can play that game and constantly get better at adding value and figuring out the ways to meet the needs of our customers better than anybody else can, we're always going to win. And now that I've kind of got to a point in my career where, you know, I have a message and some things that I would like to share, I remember what it was like when I was getting started, and I was just a scared broke kid and didn't know who to talk to or no contacts. And if there's anything I can do to support entrepreneurs on their journey, yeah, please reach out, connect with me on Instagram. I'd love to help any way I can. And dude, I just got to say, it's a pleasure to be on here. I think, again, you guys are one of the premier D2C podcasts. I have implemented stuff from some of your early episodes when I was still in the weeds running ads and doing things multiple years ago that were game changing for us, that really helped us crack a new funnel or optimize an ad or do something. So the value you guys have added to this community is absolute, and it's a pleasure to be here. And everybody listening should definitely listen to what you guys say and the tactics and skills that you put out. You guys are great.
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I feel really privileged to be in a position to be able to put out the value that we put out and to connect with all these on fire entrepreneurs who are putting out the same value and also like putting out that value. Like the fact that I've got like three people on my team who make really good money. I've got, you know, we pay people on our team well. Like the fact that I'm in a position to build a business where I can help other people have great lives and live the kind of lives that they want to live as well is such an incredibly rewarding feel. It makes me realize like, how did capitalism go so wrong at like the super high scales and all the weird ways we're seeing it rot in the world, where like when I see it on a person-to-person basis, I just see people like adding value to their local systems, to their families, to their clients, like just more of this. And I feel like we can win this thing.
100% agree. It's funny you say that. We just took, speaking about education, I just took 7 people from my team to Traffic and Conversion Summit. Most of them, the first time they ever went to a conference. And I had this moment where we were out to dinner and I was like, holy shit, I used to be at this conference scared, not making any money, not sure if I'd ever figure it out. And now I have this incredible, vibrant team of people. And it was this kind of full circle moment where it was just to your point of feeling so grateful to be able to provide those types of opportunities and create these things. And it's, again, it's just made possible by execution over time. But on the capitalism front, I believe capitalism is the greatest system for elevating people to prosperity that has ever existed on the face of the earth. What I believe is we've now entered into an age of almost absolute transparency. At this point in time in our world, you can't fuck anybody for too long before you're found out about. There's like, and the more transparency we have, the more that the market is going to demand that the companies align with their values. And I think we're already seeing this in a big way where consumers are saying that the value of the company that they shop for is one of the very first indicators why they're shopping there. And so I think it's upon all of us as entrepreneurs, as business owners, to get very, very clear on the culture we want to create internally, on the values that we want to operate by and project those values out and draw a line in the sand and say, this is who we are, this is who we're for, and this is who we stand against. And you don't have to do it in a disrespectful way, but you just do it very as a matter of fact. And there's companies like that, that those are the companies I think that are going to lead the capitalism revolution to the next level and going to really redefine how business is done and bring a lot of that soul back into it. And that's what I'm most excited about. That's what we're trying to do here. And I hope that's what all these listeners out there are going to do as well. They're going to get really clear on how to bring soul back into their business by value-driven cultures and communities. And with that, man, sky's the limit.
I follow this guy on TikTok that I really enjoy. He's called Cancel This Clothing Company. And all he does is break down his grocery store shelves and show you which brands are mom and pop operated or family operated and which are owned by BlackRock, essentially, right? And it's just like red, it's BlackRock. And then there's like 2 or 3 products down there. And it made me realize, like, you know, you go back to what Shopify said originally, arm the rebels, right? That's what Shopify's mission was to arm the rebels. And I feel like that's, you know, you're a rebel. We're helping arm the rebels on the D2C side as well. And it's interesting, like drawing a line in the sand. Like I know there's probably lots of brands that would love to get acquired by BlackRock, but at the same time, like I think I can say I'm firmly on the side of the little guy in this case, right? Like the more, because those are the people that are going to be concentrated more on bringing value to their ecosystems than these megalithic, you know, BlackRock companies.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more, you know, and I think we all have a vote with our dollar. And how we spend that dollar is a vote that we're making every day. And I think we should all bring awareness to like where we're getting our stuff and how we can support brands that support what we care about. And, you know, one of the number one selling points for Live Bearded is Made in America. And we've made a very big point to manufacture all of our grooming products right here and to tell our tribe about it. And when we survey audience, what's one of the number one reasons why you buy from us, or what are the number one reasons why you buy from us? It's always the quality of the product, number one. And then number two is Made in America. And so we use that, right? We plant that flag. And I love the fact that we have all these disruptive, young, scrappy rebels in the entrepreneurial community that have the opportunity to go out there and re-inject that soul, that culture back into the world. And really redefine, again, some from legacy capitalism and big brands and kind of the way that they used to do things to the way we can lead the charge in doing things in a more holistic and improved way.
Easy, right? Easy. Well, Anthony, we're going to have to stay in touch. I think we're going to have to do at least annual podcasts to keep up here. We can keep our beard progress. I'm just going to let mine go. It's going to get really just long. It's not super thick, but I'm loving it.
Hit me up. I'll send you whatever you need, bro. It's a pleasure. I really mean it, man. It's a pleasure to come on here. And what you guys have done, you've added a lot of value to my life in terms of actionable steps that turn into revenue. And if there's anything I can do to support your community, I would love to do it. I'd love to stay in touch. Definitely got to get that snowboarding trip up in Whistler you were talking about.
Yep,
I'm in.
We're doing
it. Let me know when. And let me know how I can support, and let's definitely stay in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, Anthony. This is great.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can do that right now at directtoconsumer.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.